The following podcast was recently recorded with Robert Payo, one of the educators at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. We spoke about the amazing Dead Sea Scrolls exhibition now open at the museum. The regional premiere of this exhibition is a rare opportunity to see authentic Dead Sea Scrolls, ancient manuscripts that include the oldest known biblical documents dating back over 2,000 years. 10 scrolls are on display now until June, when they will be replaced with a different set of 10 scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls represent one of the most significant archaeological discoveries of all time. As the story goes, in 1947, young Bedouin goat herders wandered into a cave along the shore of the Dead Sea, near the site of the ancient settlement of Qumran, perhaps in search of a stray goat. Whatever the reason, they made a remarkable discovery. They found an assortment of clay jars, inside of which were scrolls wrapped in linen. Over the next 9 years, archaeologists and Bedouins searched the surrounding caves. After extensive excavation, more than 900 remarkably preserved scrolls were recovered, leading to decades of extraordinary scrutiny, preservation, debate, and awe, providing an incredible window to the past. Get an educator's view of this incredible exhibit.
So my name is Robert Payo. I'm one of the lead educators for the Dead Sea Scroll exhibition, and I work in education in general, working primarily with teachers, but I have the pleasure and honor of working on the Dead Sea Scroll exhibition for the run.
Terrific. Okay, so this is Howard Wedgell, and I'm sitting with Robert Payo, and I appreciate you taking the time, Robert.
You're very welcome.
I have already seen the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit. It's a terrific, terrific exhibit. My understanding is that it's from the actual traveling exhibition from the museum comes from the Israel Museum.
Israel Antiquities Authority, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where only 6 cities in the United States have gotten this exhibition. It started in New York originally, and we've been having our eye on this exhibition for a long time, and we finally got it in Denver.
Who inspired? Where did the idea come from?
We've had our eye, you know, the museum wants to bring the world to Denver, and any cultural exhibition that has this sense of gravitas and interest is something that we're interested in, and things just aligned at the right time. We've actually had an eye on this exhibition for a while. Timing is always such a thing. Certainly our exhibition space allows for exhibitions like this, so and luck. Some of it is a little bit of luck.
Sure, sure. And my understanding on this is the last city in the United States or even North America, I'm not sure.
My understanding for a while, this will go back to Israel. The Antiquities Authority has, I wouldn't say owns, but oversees the collection. So this includes the 600 objects that are part of the collection of objects along with the scroll fragments that we have.
So take me through the process of the exhibit.
So visitors will go into what we call the Desert Theater, and they'll have a performer there that will give them an overview of the exhibit. It's this immersive experience where they have an overview of how the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, what to expect very briefly in the exhibit, and then visitors will then enter into our timeline gallery, which actually captures hundreds of years of time, from the present all the way back, even past the time of the Dead Sea Scrolls, to the time of the early Israelites. All of the objects in the exhibition are authentic, they're real. Archaeologists have identified and cataloged where they were found, mm-hmm. so they are part of the archaeological record. Once they get past that, they go through 2 different halls that sort of move them forward in time, of when the tribes of Israel became a nation, to then when Jerusalem becomes in greater significance, up to the point of the time when the Dead Sea Scrolls were written during the Second Temple period. The scrolls themselves are in a round table, and as you saw, just this really beautiful table where you go around and see a set of 10 different scrolls that are representations of nearly 900 scrolls that were found. And on the outer ring is more context of who were the people that who wrote the scrolls, what was happening at that time. Mm-hmm. And then they'll finish their experience with a segment on Masada, which happened after the fall of Jerusalem when the Romans took over, and with a few artifacts of that, and then a hall where they discover more about the discovery of the scrolls themselves, and then the gift shop.
Can't forget that.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm hugely remiss. There's also a block of the Western Wall as well. So a real piece of the Western Wall that people can put notes of prayers, wishes, and hopes that will then be sent to Israel after the end of the exhibition.
That's great. That's a very cool idea.
People, you know, I was walking through the exhibit yesterday, and it was just very interesting. People were sitting down on the floor. You could see that they were really thinking about what they wanted to write on their paper. So they're really taking it to heart to have this reflective, prayerful moment to do this.
So getting the exhibit here and being involved as you have been, does it motivate you to go to Israel?
Oh my goodness. I can't tell you. I have to, there's this big mural of the old city.
Yes.
And the volunteers, rightly so, have been asking for more labels of where things are. And considering that I've looked at all these things, thanks to Google Earth and just all these different things I've searched for, I know the old city so well, having not ever been there. So it would be really an amazing thing for me to go with this deeper context. I wanted to go anyways, but now I really, really want to go. So
good.
Yeah.
Well, I've been fortunate to be there three times.
Three times?
I actually got married there.
Oh, my goodness.
I married an Israeli lady.
Okay.
And got married in Ramagan. And, uh-huh. And I've been to the Kotel, or the Western Wall.
Wow.
And it is. It is quite moving. The whole city, the whole, you know, all of Jerusalem and all mm-hmm. of Israel is in it.
Well, and so much of that history, you know, of layers,
right.
literally
layers
of history that,
right.
that place represents for so many people and so many cultures, and the origins of three world religions, all in that tiny little area, speaks to so many things that's a powerful reason why people are coming to the exhibition in the first place, is because of that.
Well, tell me about the people who are coming. I mean,
well, Howard, that's an interesting question, because the thing is, what I'm finding, and I you know, even just yesterday, I was in there, I had this short conversation with a woman who said, you know, we just started talking, and then she said, well, my sister and I are going to Jerusalem in a month, and so this is a, you know, in preparation for that. So people come with their own sense of personal meaning that they want to connect with, whether that be a religious intention, whether it be a travel, they like to travel to places. Religious, of course, Jerusalem speaks to, again, three of the world religions, and archaeology in itself, and then just the story of the Dead Sea Scrolls themselves. You know, there's sort of a mystic quality to them, mysterious, and just the discovery itself is just full of lots of different stories of goats and travel, you know, the scrolls were trying to be sold on the Wall Street Journal, you know, and then, but then in that general sense of just looking at something that somebody wrote thousands of years ago,
right.
who's a person just like me, to see a piece of pottery that was used 3,000 years ago, that's something you just don't get to see every day. So I think it speaks to our world heritage. And so that's what people are coming for. They want to experience that. They want to share that. Certainly for your audience with grandparents, we see a lot of grandparents taking their grandchildren, taking their families to experience this, to talk about it. It's a very reflective exhibition, and people really want to talk. And so even just to be a presence in there, and to be open to those conversations, I've had all these different conversations of people, you know, have traveled there, people that are Jewish, people that are Christian, people, you know, that love archaeology, all of it. Mm-hmm. In a short span of time, I will have all those different conversations with people.
For the younger set, what do you think is a good age that they have enough interest sure. to absorb and say, where, you know, mm-hmm. where does this come from, and why do, you know, why should I be watching it?
I think, you know, unless you have some context of understanding what these are, if for a young child, they'll just walk in and see just a bunch of pottery and, right. and things like that. So it does need, you do need some context. And whether that comes from an adult that is coming with them, I mean, that's helpful to have that. So for younger kids, that's sort of a definite thing. I don't think they really understand much as a younger children. But, you know, children in middle school and up, you know, so from 11 years old, but also depending on, you know, their backgrounds, if they've, you know, if they've been to Jerusalem, for example, or are of Jewish heritage, you know, they may have had some of that already. But I would say when you, early adolescence is probably a good age for them to have a personal experience for themselves. Otherwise, you know, having an adult there to help them through to understand is helpful.
Okay. I think that we're going to pick the video portion of this podcast up in the exhibit itself.
Okay.
So this will conclude the audio portion of this podcast, and I hope that the listener will then click on the video and continue with my interview with Robert Hale.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
Oh, you're welcome.